Why is it that sometimes we don't feel like we're saved? Sometimes we don't feel like God is with us. Sometimes we feel like we want to do the same things that we did before we were saved. It's just an odd thing. But I think it's part of our life with God, because David felt that way, especially when trials last for an extended period of time. And when we find that those trials just go on and on and on, it's very easy to lose hope. The Bible says the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. But we can feel that way.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 1 Samuel 27 and 28.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
We want to go through chapter 27 and 28. They're kind of short chapters here. And then we'll finish up next week. And we'll look at, did Saul commit suicide? And what does the Bible say about suicide? Tonight, we want to look at David on the run and Saul going after a witch, or one who has a spirit of divination. So in chapter 27, it says, then David said to himself, now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul then will despair of searching for me anymore in all the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand. So David arose and crossed over, he and 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. David on the run. Doesn't trust Saul. Remember a couple times Saul said, oh, David, David, blessed are you, David. I know that you're going to be the king in Israel, and you're more righteous than I am. Saul always has that attitude of contrition, but it's because he got caught. David spared his life twice. And remember the last time, you can see it in verse 25 of the last chapter, chapter 26. Saul said to David, blessed are you, my son David. You will both accomplish much and surely prevail. But David doesn't trust Saul. And Saul is really not trustworthy, because we're going to, we'll see that. But David, fearing for his life, David fearing the wrath of Saul, is driven now to the camp of the Philistines. He's gone to the camp of his enemies. He did that once before, but he became very fearful. And remember, he let the spittle come down his beard, and he was scribbling on the wall. And Achish said, hey, get this guy out of here. I've got enough madmen in my kingdom. And so now David's back. And I don't know if Achish thinks, wow, that was pretty smart of David back then, because my guys wanted to kill him. And now Achish knows that David's on the run from Saul, and he's broken ties with Saul. And so Achish has the idea that David is coming fully over to his camp, the camp of the Philistines. And you're going to find that now Achish wants to make David his bodyguard. And he says a lot of great things about David, but it's just a ruse for David. He's just pretending all this in his escape from Saul. And he's on the run and he's fearful. Now, I can understand not trusting Saul. But you have to remember that even Gad, the prophet Gad, said to David that you are to stay in Judah. And that's in chapter 22, verse 5. And that's at the southern end of the Dead Sea. And we've talked about Masada. Maybe Masada was one of his hideouts. We know he stayed in Gedi. But that was what the prophet said to him. But now notice what fear is doing to David. It's driving him away. And he can't trust Saul, but you've got to trust David. You've got to trust God. God had promised David the kingdom. Remember, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was a while back. But remember in chapter 16, verse 12, when God said to Samuel, anoint this one, David. Anoint him, for this is he, the king of Israel. And the Bible says that the Spirit mightily came upon David from that day forward. You know, we could be filled with the Holy Spirit. We could be walking in power one day, and you find that we could be just like David, fearing because of circumstances, because things overwhelm us. And I mentioned that last time. The Christian life is not always an ascent upward. Sometimes there are plateaus, and sometimes there is a downward trend. Now, God's never going to leave us or forsake us. God is going to hold us up. But why is it that sometimes we don't feel like we're saved? Sometimes we don't feel like God is with us. Sometimes we feel like we want to do the same things that we did before we were saved. You know, it's just an odd thing. But I think it's part of our life with God, because David felt that way. And especially when trials last for an extended period of time. And that's what's happening with David. Over 10 years, maybe 12 years, David is on the run. And when we find that those trials just go on and on and on, it's very easy to lose hope. It's very easy to feel like we're abandoned by God or from God. But he never abandons us. He's always there. The Bible says the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. But we can feel that way. Feelings can really be deceiving. You know, and so we can't live our Christian life on feelings. I realize when I get down, I've got to get into the Word of God. I've got to speak faithful things and know that God will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that God is good. I've got to climb to the rock that is higher than I am. There's all these things in the Scripture that we have to deal with our emotions by the Word of God, because those emotions will come and go. And so, David, it has been a long period of time, an extended period of time for trials. Very easy to lose hope in that time. It could cause good Christians to do bad things. And I've seen that. And I mean, there's times where we're just almost, we feel like we just want to give up. We just want to go back to the old life. We've lost hope. I mean, those are feelings that we have. And yet, these times where you might find that they're extended period of times of trial, of suffering, of aggravation, of things that you'd like to get rid of in your life, but they just seem to be right there. It seems to be a big hindrance, but it isn't. Remember, God is training David up for the ministry, to be king. He was able to be very successful in looking over his father's flocks and herds. I mean, he's able to kill the bear and to kill the lion when they came to take the flock. He killed Goliath. But now God is doing an internal work in David. And that's always the case with us. You know, one of the main scriptures when I was saved, when I first got saved in the 70s in the Jesus movement, because me and my family and my wife and all, we're almost divorced. The kids, you know, were the kids. They were young at that time, but, you know, we're just horrible parents at that time. And I, when I got saved, I just realized, you know, I'm the cause of this mess. And so I realized I had to let God untangle the mess that I made out of the 7 years of marriage that we had. And I couldn't give up on that, even though before I was saved, I wanted to. But when I got saved, I realized that my wife and my family is the most precious thing that I could ever have. And, you know, the Lord just, he showed me that. He put that in my heart. And one of the scriptures that was the most important scripture to me that I held on to, and it's in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing." I knew whatever trials I was going through, and they were many and they were great, I knew that I had to endure that because God was doing something, not just in the situation, but in me. And so I'll tell you, it was years and years and years. And then at a certain point in time, you kind of hit a respite where, wow, things have calmed down, and, you know, the wife is now saved and the kids are doing good, and, you know, you're doing good. And then you hit another trial, you know, and it's more work that God's doing on the inside. But I find that that's really not going to end until we're face to face with the Lord. You know, you're probably more mature today than when you were first saved. If that was a year ago, now you got logged in a year in the Lord, probably more mature now, but you went through some tough times, I'll bet. Maybe you're 5 years in the Lord or 10 years in the Lord. Maybe like me, I was saved in the 70s. You look back and you realize that you went through some difficult times. David is going through difficult times, and it's working not so much to change the circumstances, but to change you. There's a work in your life. And that's what's happening with David. You see, the very thing that David's going through is meant to strengthen him. It's meant to strengthen you and to strengthen me, to mature him, to grow him, to prepare him for God's calling in his life as king of Israel. And the same thing with you, the calling that God has on your life. And so hang in there. You know, let God do that work. You know, the trial may last a little bit longer or a lot longer, but remember that that's a work in you that God is doing. He's preparing you for what he's called you, that eternal calling. And it's a custom calling. No one else is going to fulfill the purpose that God has for you on planet Earth. And so let him do that. Now, the thing I think it's sad here, and that could be really deceiving for us, and I've heard this before, sometimes when a Christian will want to bail out in the Lord, and they'll say, my friends in the world accept me more than Christians do. They're more loving than the church is. I've heard that. And you know, when you look at what David's going through, when David goes to Gath and when he hangs out there with Achish, the king of Gath, and with the Philistines, it seems like the enemy, the world, gives greater comfort and acceptance than God's people for David. He finds more acceptance, and Achish is going to praise him for, you know, who he is and his loyalty. And then when you compare that with what's going on in Israel with Saul and with those people that are bad-mouthing David and trying to turn Saul away from David, you have to think, man, I've got more comfort here with the enemy than I have with my own people. Have you ever thought that, or you had friends that said that, man, I went back into the world with my old friends and they accepted me more than the Christians did? Well, sometimes that can, you know, that can be true, but it shouldn't be. I don't think it should be true with the body of Christ. I think we should be the most loving, accepting people. Now, not accepting bringing your sin in here and you coming in and sitting down, plopping down with your sin and thinking that that's going to be okay. No, if you listen long enough, probably we're going to hit on that sin, and either you'll be bummed out and leave, or you'll leave the sin behind. Because that's what the Lord does. When he saves a person, he changes their life. You know, we can't live in that old life. But the fact is, you know, deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, if the pastor, the leaders were not your friends. They wouldn't tell you the truth. They just stroke you in your sin, and that can be the very worst thing. But it is sad when you find that here the enemy, the world, seems to be more comforting and more accepting of one who is a Christian or a godly man like David. And he seems like he's got more, hanging out, easier to hang out and be more accepted by the Philistines than it is with the people of God. Because you're going to find that Achish, he praises David's loyalty, and yet it's a ruse. It's fake with David. David's not really loyal. And he wants to make him his bodyguard. We'll see that in just a bit. He goes on, verse 3. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the Carmelite, Nabal's widow. Now, he was married to another woman. Remember Michal, who was Saul's daughter? But Saul gave her to Pethiel. And you're going to find when David takes over the kingdom, that's going to be a hardship for Pethiel because David wants his wife back. Now, he gets her back, but she has her own quarters. He never really sleeps with her, anything like that. It's just almost kind of the consequence of Saul's sin and, the two going along with it when he gets her back. But he actually has three wives at this point. We mentioned last time, more than three, probably about eight altogether, when you add them up. He kind of fell into the custom of the land, polygamy. But he goes on, now it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he no longer searched for him. So it did have an effect when David did join the Philistines. It had an effect for Saul to stop chasing him. Saul didn't want to get into the territory of the Philistines. He didn't want to provoke the fight. The Philistines will. We'll see in a little bit. But then David said to Achish, if now I have found favor in your sight, let them give me a place in one of the cities in the country that I may live there, for why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day, and the number of the days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. That's a long time to be separated from Israel, to be separated from the tabernacle, from the place of worship, from the sacrifices. That's a long time. Remember what David had said to Saul when they were chasing him and David saved his life for, the second time. He said, why do you listen to those that stir you up against me? This is in chapter 26, 19. He said, you've driven me today from the land that I should be attached, that I should no longer be attached to my inheritance. And you say, go serve other gods. That's the consequence. They've driven David into the world. In a sense, go serve the pagans, pagan gods. But you're not coming here in Israel. You do, we're going to kill you. You see, that's the unfortunate thing. When people, for one reason or another, they leave the church, whether, the church is at fault or the church has really been negligent in communicating love and acceptance and in trying to deal with maybe a person's lifestyle that God wants to change, but, the church or individuals or counselors don't have enough patience to lead them through the process of maybe forsaking the sin and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if they go into the world, there's a temptation there. You think, well, David's strong. He's the king of Israel. Hey, look, he's there in pagan land. And these gods of the Philistines, Baal, Ashtoreth, I mean, they're very sensual gods. Do you not think when David, the rock star of Israel, went into Gath, there were not women there, Philistine women, that would to be with David? Definitely. He was like the rock star of Israel. And now he's in Gath. Do you not think there was the temptation? Of course there was. And you see, immorality, that was just a way of life back then. And so the gods of Ashtoreth and Baal, fornication would be the way of worshiping their gods. So you see, there was a great temptation for David at that. And that is what he's saying. You're driving me to worship and go off with other gods. That's a horrible thing. And we have to realize that, you know, on our Saturday morning prayer meetings, a number of the guys pray for those that are friends. They used to be in the church, in the Lord, but now they've backslid. And there's a lot of prayer that goes for, you know, those guys, you know, because we love those guys. We remember those guys. We know they were serving the Lord. And now they somehow got caught up in the things of the world. And now, you know, that has been now a part of their life. And it's only God that can loose them from that. And so that was one of the issues with David. So what does David say? Hey, give me another city here. Give me a city, and they give him Ziklag, which is really a Hebrew city, but it was under the control of the Philistines. So gave him that city. But I'm sure in David's mind, he's thinking, you know what? I don't want all the suspicious men spying on me, every little thing I do, if I'm there with, you know, in Gath. And then at the same time, I don't want to be around these pagan idols. I don't need that temptation. I don't need to walk into that temptation every time I wake up and I, you know, I'm in that city. I don't need that. And probably one of the excuses was, you know, I've got my 600 men, you know, they're used to living on the land. These are rough guys. They're not going to fit into this sophisticated city of the Philistines. They'll feel uncomfortable. So can you give us a city of our own? Plus, David wants the freedom. He wants the freedom to do what he wants to do with not having the scrutiny of those Philistines. Because we're going to see that David is really, he's not attacking when he goes off to battle and conquers a city and takes the spoil. It's not the spoil of the Hebrews. It's the spoil of those that are the friends of the Philistines, the pagans.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel 27 and 28. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 1 Samuel 27 and 28. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.